We are celebrating Earth Day. It's probably the most celebrated secular festivity in the world. It involves something like over a billion people, and it does raise awareness, and in some way you're linked to that. What is your thoughts about Earth Day, and do you have any kind of initiative that is linked to Earth Day?
Well, I would say, first of all, that just from the very title of my position, Justice, Peace, and the Integrity of Creation, we as Franciscans have always believed that the earth and all of God's creation are very special. If you look to the theology, or probably better than theology, the experience of St. Francis, it was a huge part of who he was. Anybody that knows Assisi is aware of the nature that exists around there, and for him, that nature spoke about the God that created nature. And if you look at the Franciscan theology, the people that come after Francis, like Bonaventure, you know, they talk about the sparks of God that exist in the world and how creation takes us beyond what we see in our day-to-day life back to the God who has created all these things. So for us, even theologically and in terms of our religious commitment, we believe that Earth Day would be really important because it speaks to us about a major component of who we are. And I think also we're committed to work with all people of goodwill to address questions and issues that are important for us today. And I think Earth Day has become increasingly important as the questions of ecology have become increasingly problematic. I think most scientists nowadays talk about the major problems that we're facing in terms of ecology and the environment. For us as Franciscans, we've made a choice that the umbrella issue around which we are organizing our work for justice, peace, and the integrity of creation is environmental justice. You know, in the sense that people have criticized the ecological, the environmental movement in the past because it's a bunch of tree huggers. And I think in some senses it's an unfair criticism. Maybe some people are like that. But I think by choosing something like environmental justice, we want to make it clear from the beginning that we're not into it to be tree huggers. You know, we think that the creation that God has given us is a gift. We believe that it's beautiful. But at the same time, it's part of the overall creation of God that includes humanity, that includes all of the living creatures of the world, all of the creatures, living and non-living. And for that reason, we are called to defend the dignity of all these creatures, but especially of our brothers and sisters around the world. So as we look to the questions of justice and peace, which are kind of traditionally, it's an area that the church hasn't been involved in. Obviously, the world in which we live is not a peaceful place. There's so many wars going on, so many violent situations. When you look to the questions of justice, there are all sorts of issues that we need to work on. But we can't work on any of them without taking into account, too, the environmental issues.
It's also been very evident in the past decade, let's say, as we see how climate change, for example, impacts prevalently the most vulnerable people, the poorest people, the people on the margins. So they're very closely linked, aren't they?
Without question. I mean, if you go to the to some of the material of CIDCE, it's an organization of 16 Catholic development organizations. They make that very clear, and they make the case for, you know, the people who are least responsible for the environmental issues that we have, the environmental problems, are the ones who usually suffer the greatest effects, and that would be the poor. And so for us, too, you know, when we talk about environmental justice, our idea is that we would like to work together also with them. I mean, the poor, in many ways, are pretty well organized. They have good organizations, too. Not all of them are organized, but we're looking for ways to work together with them to advocate for environmental justice, which would be being concerned for peace and justice, also for the environment and for the people who live in our world. So taking all of those together, you know, if you work on one without thinking of the others, you're probably going to end up biting yourself in the end. So I think that even if you can't work on all issues at the same time, I think that we're invited, first of all, we always talk about reading the signs of the times. And I think when we read the signs of the times, we have to see the interrelationships that exist between justice and peace and environment. So when we say that we want to work with environmental justice, that's what we mean, that we have to look at all of these issues together so that, like, if we begin to address the question of environment, we don't end up stomping on the poor people even more. You probably are aware of the fact that in June there'll be the Rio Plus 20 conference in Rio. And it's 20 years after Rio 92, the place where they kind of put together the Kyoto Protocol, and a lot of those pacts, those agreements, they're done. They're going to finish up. Kyoto was extended, but the issue is we need a new permanent agreement, or at least semi-permanent agreement. And we're having a very difficult time coming to any sort of agreement, at least on the government levels.
Will the Franciscans be present?
Exactly. That's where I was getting to. In September, already knowing about what was going on, we convoked a small meeting to talk about what we should do as Franciscans, as the Franciscan family, for Rio Plus 20. So we've invited 60 of people from our Franciscan family to be present. And our idea is it's not so much to be present at the conferences, even though that's important, because there's a, together with the UN official conferences, there's also the People's Summit, which is being convoked by civil society. And I think in many ways it's because they're frustrated with what's happening at the official level. I mean, I think we need to find ways to bring the two together. But at the same time, I think that the official society, the UN, and the governments are being extremely short-sighted. They're making decisions based on self-interest, really, you know, whether individual or country self-interest. And I think it's not going to, I'm sure it will not bring us to any sort of resolution of the problems that we're facing. You know, so for us, in at least in the OFMs and in the Order of Friars Minor, we in the JPIC office here in Rome, we try to encourage our friars around the world to look for concrete ways to work on these projects, you know, or to work in the different areas that we're involved in. And one of them is obviously this area of ecology. And we have some very interesting projects around the world. For example, I just think right now of Indonesia. I visited them last year, and they have a wonderful project for sustainable agriculture, you know, where they teach people how to do sustainable agriculture. And, I mean, the rice that they were growing was just beautiful. It was so green. And we have a lot of other projects in different places. For example, in Austria, we received information a few years back about a project that they were doing to introduce solar panels in some buildings at one of the schools there. And there was actually a difficulty with the government because it's an historical building. But they entered into a dialogue with the government, with the school, and with, you know, our Franciscans, and they came to agreement where they'd be able to put solar panels on, promoting environmental awareness and also saving energy, and at the same time taking into account the historical aspect of the building. You know, and I think, in a sense, that's kind of it's a model for the way that we should do things. It seems to me in today's world, one of the things that we have least is dialogue. We don't talk to one another. If you listen to TV or radio, the sound bites surely do not help us to reflect more deeply on what's going on around us. Everything is instantaneous. You've got to say something immediately. And anybody that tries to think a little bit more or to reflect a little bit more is pushed aside, basically. We could say we don't have time, but our time is going to run out if we don't start talking to one another, because the problems that we're facing now, it seems to me, are life-threatening. You know, the scientists are saying that. Our Pope has been saying that too, John Paul II. He had already begun to talk about environmental issues seriously, because the Catholic Church hadn't been too involved. I think the Protestants preceded us in that area. But John Paul, I think it was back in 1991, he began to talk about the need for ecological conversion, you know, about the need to think about how we should change our lifestyles and the way that we live, you know, so that we can address the problems that we face. And Benedict has continued in that tradition and, in a sense, I think developed it, and he's made the invitation to the Church and to our fellow Catholics around the world to be thinking about these things and to be also changing their lifestyles.
And has that made a difference?
It's hard to say if it's made a difference. You know, I think that we probably need to be much more proactive in going after these lifestyle changes and even the changes in the way that we do our ministry. You know, for example, if the Pope is going to talk about the need for ecological conversion, I think that really needs to work its way down into the pews. And we do that through preaching, we do that through other kinds of educational activities of the church. And I think we probably begin, again, as I was saying, to be more proactive, I think we actually need to be saying to people something very concrete about, for example, if you're going to talk to priests, you know, what are they doing in their parishes to address these issues? Do they talk about it in their homilies? What about at our schools? I know you asked earlier about projects that we have for environment. In Peru, for example, we have a fairly large system of schools, high schools and primary schools, and the friars there have a program for, you know, teaching the kids about ecology. You know, so I think, again, we need to find very concrete ways to address that. So it's great, I think, that the Pope talks about these things. But at the same time, I think that we need to begin to find ways to operationalize that. You know, how do you turn these words into action? And we face the same problems. You know, from our general office for JPIC, we've produced lots of materials about environment. I won't say lots. We don't want to produce lots and lots because then people don't use them. But for example, on the website of the order, we have two documents, one on environmental justice, and that one talks about the reason why Franciscans should be interested in ecology and in environmental justice. And then it reflects a little bit on the world in which we live today, and then it gives four examples of where Franciscans have been involved in environmental justice. And then the second document is called Ecology in the Daily Life of the Friar Minor, and it's kind of like an environmental audit. It takes nine different areas, maybe two pages for each area, like energy, transport, food, et cetera, and it asks people to stop and take stock of what they do. You know, how do we use energy? How do we use water? How do we use food, et cetera, et cetera? And at the same time, it's like an educational tool. Each of the different areas has a little bit of a reflection about what's happening with that area, you know, problems with water that we face nowadays. You know, so what we're trying to do at the general level, we try to provide resources that people can use at the local level.
You were speaking about these two different areas on your website, and the first you mentioned was a reflection on why Franciscans should be involved in looking after creation. And maybe you can tell us in a nutshell those reasons, so maybe we can draw inspiration from the Franciscan way of life.
Well, I think the bottom line of what we talk about there is St. Francis, because his theology, his approach to the world, was one of being a brother to all of the other creatures. We point out, you know, if you know the Canticle of the Creatures of St. Francis, you know, he goes through a praise be my Lord for Brother Sun, for Sister Moon, and all the good things that they do for us. And he obviously was inspired by the creation around him to come closer to God. And I think that's the bottom line of what we're talking about. We reflect about Francis and his attitudes, and then we talk about the world in which we live. And, you know, we've always believed that Francis had a special concern for the world, also in a special way for the poor of the world. And, you know, given those kinds of attitudes of Francis, we're basically asking, well, where should we be? What is it that God is asking us to do? Actually, that reflection on Franciscan spirituality, at least part of it was done by one of the Poor Clare sisters. You know, they're the second order of St. Francis, founded by Clare and by Francis. And they're sisters who live in cloister. They live in a cloister life, but they're very much aware of what's going on in the world. And some of the reflections of the sister who did this paper are helping us, too, to think about the same kinds of issues. So I would say that the inspiration really is St. Francis. And we're trying to find ways to sometimes reignite our own passion for the world.
I read something on the Franciscan philosophy and this simple way of life, which in reality provides a wealth of richness. And I was thinking of our lives, which are so complex and so far away from simplicity, and I found that really inspiring.
Yeah, well, I agree totally. And again, if you had asked earlier about Benedict, but also about John Paul, part of the message that they're talking about is this message of a simpler lifestyle, of a more frugal lifestyle, of using less material things. And I mean, going back to scientific evidence, if you look at people in the first world, well, let's just say the United States, which I know better, it's impossible for everyone in the world to live as the people in the United States live. It's physically impossible because the resources do not exist for that. So as soon as you say something like that, this brings into play questions of justice, questions of human dignity. You know, how is it that people are supposed to live? You know, if somebody lives on $300 a day and there are others who live on 50 cents a day or a dollar a day, what does that mean? You know, do they have a human dignity? You know, so it seems to me that the whole idea of the simplicity of life, you know, as we were talking earlier, when you bring into play one aspect of who we are, you really need to bring into play all the aspects. So the simplicity of life isn't just to be a cute little thing, to live in a different way, but it really does, it opens up more space to be able to think about who we are and to reflect on our place in the cosmos, our place in regard to God. And it also opens us up to think about how we interact with the other people in the world, with our brothers and our sisters. You know, so I think that it's essential. And again, for me, I think part of the reason why I'm a Franciscan is because of that. I'm inspired by the life of Francis. I surely am not going to go back and live like Francis did. I think that's impossible. But I can take into account the values that he lived and think about ways where my own style of life can be more than influenced, I think molded by what Francis did. I travel a lot. I travel a lot to do my work. Well, then how do I take advantage of that travel, or how do I find other ways to do things that may be less harmful to the environment? You know, so I think that we just need to stop now and then. The reflection about a simpler lifestyle, I think, would raise a whole bunch of ideas for us that would be helpful. Even in terms of people, you know, who live in families. You know, if we live a simpler lifestyle, we end up having more time for one another. You know, I think you said earlier something about time. Do we spend time with our families? You know, in the past we used to talk about quality time. If the quality time doesn't exist, there probably will not be quality relationships. You know, so I think that that it just raises this whole possibility of reflection for us that would be helpful. And so Earth Day, in that sense, Earth Day, of course, is about the environment. But if we're going to talk about the environment, we have to talk about everything that we're involved in. So, you know, bottom line, I think that's why Earth Day is so important, because it opens up a vast array of possibilities for our reflection, for our conversion too, you know, for being able to change the way that we do things, the way that we live together, and the way that we see creation.